Okay, we're going to get started this morning. We're online now. If I can, doesn't matter whether they respond or not. We're in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. I'm going to begin in the 13th verse and read all the way down through the 20th verse. Verse 13 through 20, probably 21. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house on the Lord's Day. Father, as we come before you today, we realize that there are many that are not able to be here today. Miss Shirley Jennings and others that are going through a really hard time in their life, we pray for the Wayne Neely family as he has passed away, the Jack Glass family. Pray for them. We pray for all of those on our prayer list that are sick and hurting. Lord, that you might, by your grace and mercy, raise them up, give them health and strength. Most of all, let them know your love and presence and hold them close to you. I pray that you would give me godly wisdom and understanding as we go through the scriptures this morning, that I might only share that which you would have me share, and Lord, that it might be of benefit to our people, that it might edify our hearts and lives as Christians, that we might draw closer to you, that we might become more like Christ and less like ourselves, that you might be glorified in the lives we live, that the gospel of Jesus Christ might be shown brightly through the lives we live and the things we share. Thank you for everyone that's here today and those that are watching online. We ask your blessing on them. We thank you for the grace of God that saves us and keeps us and one day will deliver us into heaven itself. So we've come here today to learn from your word, to praise you, to thank you, and to love you because of who you are. And because of the mighty things that you do. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Verse 13, and we've already covered this, I know, but I want to go through it all as we look at this. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you. When Jesus Christ is revealed, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, from the empty way of life handed down to you, from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish, our defect. He was chosen, or foreknown, or foreordained before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. These are tremendous verses of Scripture that we are looking at today. And as we go through this, we are really looking at the word redemption. As it is here in the 18th verse, for you know it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed. And as we've studied through this, we have said the word redemption means to be purchased, to be bought. And we have been purchased out of the bondage of sin. We have been a purchase out of darkness. It talks about here several things that we're going to look at this morning as we have time. One of those is, we just read it here, empty way of life. The empty way of life. And by the way, tonight, when I have more time, I'm going to bring you, I was trying to tell you, explain to you a drawing that I use sometimes when I'm witnessing to somebody, of a circle and a throne in the middle and everything all around it. Well, I'm going to draw that out and bring it to you tonight so you can see exactly what I was talking about, okay? And that way you'll have a better understanding of exactly what I was talking about. And because I never did complete that. I know Debbie asked me, well, what about this in the latter part of the service last Sunday? And I think I answered her, but I never did get it completely done. When I got home, I thought, well, you idiot, you didn't finish what you were telling them they ought to know about or do, so you need to do that next Sunday. So Lord willing, that's what I'm going to do tonight. That's one of the things. I intend to change the service some tonight. I intend to teach like 40 minutes, and then I want to have 20 minutes of prayer time, 20 minutes of corporate prayer. And this is what I want to do. I talked to Nate about it, Brother Nate, because I see that in our church, some of the greatest prayer warriors we have in our church are women. Absolutely. Absolutely. Always has been, always will be. Some of the greatest prayer warriors we have in our church are the ladies that make up Waldo Baptist Church. So I want to have a break off into groups after I teach, break off into groups with men and women. One group will pray for those on the prayer list. That will be their subject that they're praying about. And everyone will have an opportunity to pray. If you feel uncomfortable praying out loud, that's just fine. The person next to you can, and you can pray silently. Because I don't want anybody to feel out of place or anyone to be asked to do something they don't feel comfortable doing. I want to include everyone. Everyone that is here tonight. And so we'll be doing that. We'll be breaking off into groups. And we'll be, as to me, one of the sweetest things that I've ever experienced as a pastor is hearing people praying all over the auditorium at the same time and lifting their voices up to the Lord. Believe me, that's a sweet thing. Men and women, we're all part of the family of God. And so I intend tonight to teach for 40 minutes and then take 20 minutes for us to break off into groups. And I will assign each group a different subject to pray over. And of course, if something comes to your mind when you're praying, you can mention that. But I just wanted to share that with you this morning, that I think prayer is so important in the life of the church. And believe me, that's where the power comes from. I know years ago, Brigida and Janice Geltner, you sat right up here, when I became the pastor, they came to me and they asked me, they said, what can we, and we always pray together as prayer partners, what can we pray for you? I told them, I said, pray that God will give me wisdom. That's what I want you to pray for. And for many years, her and Janice prayed that God would give me wisdom. I don't know how well that worked out from your point of view, But from my point of view, it really helped. And this is something we're going to do tonight, and we're going to do each Sunday night as I teach, and then we pray together. Okay? Now then, I want to get on to some of my notes. And I want to give you this quote by Thomas Watson. He was a Puritan writer, and this is what he said. It costs more for God to redeem us than to make us. Now think about that for a minute. It costs God more to redeem us than to create us. He goes on to say, in creating us, he used his hand. In redeeming us, it took his arm. And so these scriptures that I've read from here this morning show the magnitude of the cost of redemption. As we look at the scriptures here this morning, it focuses on that very fact. It focuses on what it took for you and I to be redeemed. You say, And I just started on this last Sunday night. But when you look at it, what did he save us from? What did he save us from? Look at verse 17. Since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. The first thing that, and I think I mentioned this last Sunday night, but I wanted you to, I don't know if all of you were here last Sunday night or not, but I wanted you to realize that the first thing that God saved us from was His wrath and judgment. The first thing and the most important thing, because if you have not been saved, you're under the wrath of God. Before I was saved, I was under the wrath of God. And I want to use this word instead. Before I was redeemed, purchased out of the bondage of sin, I was not only a slave to sin, but I was under judgment and the wrath of God. And so what happened when I was redeemed? I was purchased not only out of slavery to sin, but I was purchased and given, as Nate preached this morning, if you were in the early service, I was given the righteousness of Christ. And that word that is used there in Romans chapter 2, where it says he declared us righteous, is a legal term. Is a legal term. By God's own authority, he accepted the payment of the death of his own son and applied it to our life. So actually, you died, I died in Christ, and when you died and I died in Christ, the penalty was paid and we received the righteousness of Christ. So I was redeemed. I was purchased out from under the wrath of God and a slave to sin by the grace of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a tremendous truth. As we look at the Word of God itself. And I was going to go back to Exodus chapter 12. But I haven't got time. Because Peter, no doubt, let me go on down here and then I'll show you what I'm talking about. But I want to go back to what else you was redeemed from. I want to do that as well. Verse 18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold. What this is telling us, and by the way, when Peter wrote this, he was no doubt thinking back to the Old Testament and the Passover. But there was another instance in the Old Testament. And I've got the scriptures here, but I ain't got time to go through everything. But they wanted to do a census. A census. In other words, they wanted to count everybody mainly so they knew how many soldiers they had. How many soldiers they had and how many people were available to be soldiers. To God, this was a sin. Because God had sworn to protect them and bless them and watch over them. So God told them, if you do this, every man, woman, boy, and girl that takes part in this census will have to pay half a shekel. And that half a shekel that they had to pay was because they took the census, which was a sin against God. He said, you're going to have to redeem yourself from that sin. What I'm trying to show you is that redemption from sin has been laid out through all of Scripture. Peter no doubt was thinking about that. He was thinking about the Passover. You know the Passover. I got to talk about this a little bit. How did they all get into Egypt? How did they all get into Egypt? How did all the Jews wind up in Egypt? To be saved from the famine. Jacob, wasn't it? Sent his family to Egypt to get food to bring back. We know the story. How it ended up him being second in power to the Pharaoh, and his brothers came back, and then his whole family came back, and they all wound up in Egypt because he was supplying them with food. So they all moved into an area. Well, that area that they moved into was given to them by Pharaoh at that time, and it was called Goshen. That's where they lived. Now, I was looking at my notes here. By the time we come to the Passover then, I've got it here somewhere. I think there was 2 million. Let me find it here. Yeah, there was 2 million Jews in Egypt. 2 million Jews in Egypt. We know God sent Moses back to Egypt, and he said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no way. In fact, now they're going to have to make bricks without straw. Okay? So God began to send plagues on Egypt. Finally, the last plague that he would send, he said, the firstborn of every family is going to die. Unless, what did they have to do? They had to take the blood of a lamb without defect or blemish. You say, well, why was that so important? Well, it was a picture of Christ, but also, if you lived in Egypt and you were a Jew and you had herds of sheep back then, you would take the best sheep you had, and that's the one you would want to proliferate your herd because they would have the same genes. So he's telling them this. You take the most precious lamb in your possession without defect, without blemish. Then he told them, you take it, not only do you take it, but you take it into your house. I believe it was 4 days. You take that lamb into your house for 4 days. Well, what happened between them and the lamb, especially if they had kids, if that lamb in the house for 4 days with them, what happened? Huh? It became a pet. What does that mean? They loved it. It became something they cherished, something they loved as they had it in the house with them. Okay. It's all drawing the picture of Christ. Now to take that lamb that you've learned to love, that you cherish, that would be the best of everything you have, and you take it out and you kill it. And you take the blood of that precious lamb and you put it on the doorpost over your house, over your doorway at your house and down each side. And down each side. And what did he tell them? And when I see the blood, I will pass my judgment over your home. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And it was called the Passover. Peter's thinking about this. Now then, think about this. God the Father, before the creation of the world. It's not like God created everything, man sinned, messed it up. God said, oh, what am I going to do? God knew before he created anything what would happen. And so it was, I just read it to you down here in the scripture. In verse 20. He, speaking of Christ, was chosen before the creation of the world. He was foreordained, predestined, whatever words you want to use, chosen, foreordained, predestined, foreknowledge, whatever words you want to use, to be that lamb before God ever created anything. Now think about this. I was thinking about this. And if I thought about this, then you need to think about this. There was nothing that he created that was sufficient to be a sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of the Father except his Son. Nothing that had been created, nothing could satisfy the wrath of God except that which was eternal, which was his own Son. That's why when Peter comes here and he writes this, he says, for you know that it was not with perishable things. We're talking about something that couldn't perish. We're talking about eternal things. It was not with perishable things. And then he goes on to say, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed. But it was with the life of the eternal Son of Almighty God that the Father loved before the creation of the earth. That's what it cost. For you to be redeemed. That's what it costs for me to be redeemed. That's why Thomas Watson wrote what he did. It cost God more to redeem you than it did to create you. That's why every time the church doors are open, if people have truly been redeemed by the precious Lamb of God, they should fill this place to capacity, eager to worship the one who gave his own Son that they might be redeemed. And that's what Peter's talking about. So first of all, you were redeemed from wrath and judgment. The Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. God passed over you with the blood of his own Son, and when he redeemed you. Now, when he sees you, he sees the righteousness of his Son in you, which he gave you through the shed blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ. Am I boring you? Oh, good. Scared to death of us. All right. Now then, what else were you saved from? As obedient children, verse 14, to the evil desires you had. That word means lust. Evil desires. If you read in the book of James, it says you sin when you were dragged away, enticed by your own evil desires. You say, well, I'm not completely rid of that. Truthfully, we aren't, are we? We have to battle that, don't we? But God, in Christ, has given us, if he was in the early service, what did he say? The resurrected power to overcome that sin in your life, to overcome those evil desires. As obedient children, he's saying, you don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to live that way anymore. God has given you the power, the resurrected power in Christ, to overcome those evil desires in your life. All right? Now I got another one. Now, I think I mentioned this last Sunday, but I'll throw it in too. So you were saved from lust or evil desire. Okay. When, same verse, to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. When you were saved from ignorance. You still may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you were saved from ignorance. Before I was saved, I could not understand or grasp the things of God. Neither could you. I taught Sunday school in First Baptist Church, Brookport. I could tell you what the Bible said, but I could not grasp and understand. All it meant to me at that time was words, because I had not yet been redeemed. The day I was saved or redeemed, I picked this book up and I read it, and it's not words. It's alive. It is the Word of God to me. It is God speaking to me. And the whole thing becomes alive suddenly. Why? Because I have been redeemed out of ignorance, given the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God teaches me and helps and gives me the understanding to grasp and to understand the Word of God and apply it to my life. So I'm saved from the wrath of God and judgment. I am saved from ignorance. And I am saved. If you go on down here to verse 18, and I talked about this a lot last Sunday night, because I was a perfect example of an empty way of life. You look down to verse 18. For you know, it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life. Okay? You were saved from an empty way. Before I was redeemed, and that's why I'm going to make the drawings and bring them tonight, because that's what this is all about. Life made no sense. I had no purpose. There was no purpose in my life. You say, well, you went to work, you made a living. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a purpose. I'm talking about something that is greater than I am. Something worth living for. Something that you could look into the future and you could say, thank God Almighty, free at last. I'm free at last. Heaven is my home, a living hope. And I could live every day in light of the fact that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. No longer was my life empty. And I'll show you tonight. It doesn't mean my life wasn't full of stuff. Everybody's life is full of stuff. But that stuff doesn't make any sense at all until you have a purpose. And I'll show you that tonight. Okay? But I was saved, redeemed from an empty way of life. I really believe God made us for Himself, and there is a vacuum or a hole within us, and we're never whole until Christ comes in to fill that hole in our life. And when Christ comes in to fill that void, that vacuum, that empty way of life in us, suddenly everything fits. And that's the second bow. And I'm out of time. But I want you to understand, it takes me so long because there's so much to say about what is really important when you read these scriptures from 1 Peter down through here. Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to read your word, to digest your word, to let your word read us, to understand the magnitude of a sovereign, almighty, everlasting, omnipotent God. Thank you for who you are and for the mighty things that you do. Bless the second service. Be with Nate as he preaches. I pray, Spirit of God, you will fill him and speak through him. Thus saith the Lord. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen.